ladies and gentlemen. Michael Collins Piper here, live. A couple minutes ago, you may have heard what appeared to be a rebroadcast of one of my programs from last week, and that is exactly what it was. But I am coming to you live at this time. It is April 30th. It's Monday. We had a little bit of a technical glitch there at RBN headquarters in Round Rock, Texas, but I am here in Washington, D.C., live, much as I always say, to the regret of my enemies, and there are many. Well, folks, I hope you all had a good weekend. I'm not going to have any guests on the show tonight. We'll go to open phones here later. The number here, of course, is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. You know, periodically I've asked in this program, and you have responded. I've asked people to come on the air, and if they choose to do so, and tell us how they first got involved in the Patriot movement, the nationalist movement, the America First movement, whatever you want to call whatever this movement or non-movement, as the case may be, whatever this movement is to you. And it's always very, very different because different, what do they say, different strokes for different folks. Some people became alert because of 9-1-1. Some people became alert because of the Oklahoma bombing. Long, long time ago, a lot of people were getting interested in the other side of the news, so to speak, because of the Kennedy assassination and all sorts of things. So I'm always very, very curious as to how you became involved. And if you feel like calling in and talking about it, I'd be interested in hearing it. And you know what? I think the other listeners to this program would be as well. You know, I've mentioned, folks, I've been broadcasting here on RBN for just over a year. Never thought I would have a radio program. It always came as a surprise to me when RBN asked me to do it. And I was flattered but flabbergasted at the same time. And it's been a very interesting experience, in as much as, you know, I've been writing for about 25 years, and a lot of people have read my stuff over the years, my articles for the American Free Press, and before that for the Spotlight, and articles in the Barnes Review, and a few other places. But one thing I've noticed about radio is that since I've been on the radio, it just seems as though there is an intensity on the part of listeners who either both like you or dislike you. And, you know, the funny thing is, folks, I walked into the American Free Press office visiting today, and someone had called in over the weekend saying that Michael Collins Piper was an Irish Catholic drunk and his employer, Willis Cardo, was a crook, and that they needed to know that it was the Irish Republican Army that brought down the World Trade Center. That's who did the World Trade Center. And the person who spoke, the person who left this message, which has been saved by American Free Press for posterity, seemed to have what I would call, for want of a better way of putting it, a harsh New York City or East Coast Jewish accent. So I don't know who the person was. I don't know if that, in fact, they were a New York Jew, so to speak, but this person says that the World Trade Center was brought down by the Irish Republican Army. Well, it's kind of funny because this, the very same time this person calls in and says that I'm an Irish Catholic drunk, an Irish Catholic fellow from Massachusetts sends me an email and basically tells me that he doesn't believe that I am Irish Catholic. Folks, I'm confused. Of course, my critics say that, too. All right, stay tuned. We're going to a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about a very interesting article in the upcoming issue of the Barnes Review. Stay tuned, folks, for more. And then feel free to call in, 800-313-9443. We are live here.
People who use Cardivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cardivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cardivite.
in our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We are live here on this Monday, April 30th. Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., the headquarters of American Free Press. You can check it out on the internet at AmericanFreePress.net. One of the new features at that website are blogs by some of the writers, including yours truly, although I haven't updated mine for several days, maybe a week, I don't know. But also, you'll find a blog with Mark Glenn. He's been a regular guest in this show, now a regular contributor to American Free Press, and also Mark Anderson, another new writer for AFP, and Vince Ryan and Chris Petherick and possibly somebody else. I should check that website out myself. I tell you to check it out. Well, I should check it out, too. And also, of course, check out the Barnes Review website at barnesreview.org. BarnesReview.org. Incidentally, I should mention, there seems to be a lot of confusion. There is a website up on the internet that many people think is associated with the Barnes Review. It's called TBR News. It happens to have the same initials as TBR, the Barnes Review. But TBR News is not an operation of the Barnes Review, so please don't get that confused. I just got an email from somebody complaining about something that had appeared on that website and saying how they didn't like it. Well, the Barnes Review had nothing to do with it, just like AmericanFreePress.net has nothing to do with AmericanFreePress.com. American Free Press that I write for, that I'm associated with, is AmericanFreePress.net. .net. Some people just don't get it sometimes, but in this day and age with information overload, it doesn't surprise me. Well, you do get a lot of information out of the Barnes Review magazine, and there is a very interesting article in there this month, the one that is going to press right now. It won't be out probably, I guess, for another few weeks. It's a May-June 2007 issue of the Barnes Review, and there is an article by John Tiffany. And by the way, John Tiffany is an Irish Catholic, as you might have guessed from his name. John's article, though, is not about Irish Catholics. John's article is about the Old Testament. And what's very interesting, folks, is something that I didn't know until just a couple years ago. But, you know, for almost 100 years or more, there have been Christian, and I emphasize Christian, religious scholars from the United States and Europe who have been writing some very, very interesting books and articles that are very, very well written, very, very well-researched, and very, very highly regarded in the higher circles of the Christian community. Many of them work out of Europe. It's something called higher criticism. And if you're very well versed in archaeology, Old Testament writings, and so forth, you will find, and this is very, very interesting, that many, many Christian scholars, we're not talking about tub thumpers like Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson and Tim LaHaye and people of that silly ilk. We're talking about serious scholars, people who are trained in archaeology, trained in religious history and philosophy. These people have come to the conclusion that much of the Old Testament, particularly that portion of the Old Testament that purports to outline the history of ancient Israel, is nothing but an assembly of tales either created out of the whole cloth or adopted by the early people who now call themselves Jews, or people who now call themselves Jews who are claiming, I should say, claiming a history in Palestine that is basically non-existent. Historians like Thomas Thompson, Philip Davies, William Deaver, D-E-V-E-R, just a few people who have been doing a lot of in-depth research that say that that what has been propounded in modern days as evidence as to why Americans should support the state of Israel, Christians in particular. The fact is that the evidence is actually based upon myths. Now, this is very controversial, of course, but bear in mind that the people who are writing this are Christians. These are people who believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They believe that the New Testament is a representation of the work of God, but they have serious doubts about the Old Testament, particularly the stories of ancient Israel. In fact, back in 1897, there was a book written by a gentleman named Fisk called The Myths of Israel. And you know, oddly enough, I picked up a copy of this very, very, very rare book some years ago. I thought it was interesting, and I didn't quite understand the context of it, and I've never pretended to have any deep knowledge of the Old Testament or of archaeology or anything like that, but the fact is that there are some very serious scholars now who are writing, and you know what's interesting? They even have support from archaeologists and some scientists working in Israel. So you have this, and of course, it's interesting and important to point out that the government of Israel absolutely abhors this kind of serious Christian theological and archaeological research. But word about it does leak out, and you will find in publications such as, I believe it's called Biblical Archaeology Today, you will find writings about this. Harper's Magazine did a very interesting article some years ago by a writer whose name escapes me at the moment. But his article essentially said, too, that even modern-day Jewish theologians are coming to say that the Old Testament is not what it's been cracked up to be. Now, I'd be curious, you know, obviously I haven't read this article on the air. I'm not going to read the article on the air. I would urge any of you who are interested to subscribe to the Barnes Review and read the article when it gets published. But I'd be curious as to any comments in regard to this that any of you out there may have just based upon what I've commented upon, because the nature of this is obviously very controversial. I recall once or twice here on this program, we've had a number of callers alluding to it, and I remember specifically one night we had Mark Glenn on the program. I believe it was Ron from Oklahoma called in, and although I can't speak for Ron in this regard, I remember thinking at the time when Ron was talking that much of what he was discussing is in fact fully in line with what some of these very serious scholars and archaeologists and scientists are saying. And again, I emphasize that the fact that these people are not atheists. You know, the easy thing to do is dismiss these guys as atheists because they're saying there might not be something exactly correct with the Bible. But when one considers the fact that what we know of today as the Bible has been reworked and rewritten by kings and emperors and vast numbers of scholars, some with political motivations, some with racial and religious motivations, we do have to wonder exactly what is true and what isn't. But as I say, these people who are known as the school of higher criticism, they are coming from a Christian perspective. Now, I know there's going to be some people who are going to say, well, they can't be Christians if they dispute the Old Testament, or if they say that the Old Testament is really a cobbling together of stories that came from other groups of people other than what are believed by many people today, incorrectly to be, that is, believed to be, quote-unquote, Jews. And, of course, as many, many people have said time and again, the term Jew, of course, never really appears in the Bible. There's a lot of terms that are used today in connection with discussing the Bible that really just don't have any connection to reality. So if any of you want to comment on this very controversial topic, I'd be very, very interested to hear what you have to say.
I'm back on. I have to feed you the callers through the mic here.
Okay, so if you want to call in here, go ahead and do it. The number is 800-313-9443. Okay, 800-313-9443. Well, we already have a couple callers lining up here. We are going to be going to a break momentarily, so I'm just going to wait until after that break to bring the callers up, but I will just say once again, the number here is 800-313-9443. In regard to this issue of the Barnes Review and what it's discussed, the one author in question is Thomas Thompson, Thomas L. Thompson. His most recent book is The Mythic Past, Biblical Archaeology and the Myth of Israel. I've seen that book, and I have to tell you, I couldn't describe it in detail if I wanted to, but people I know who do understand the book say that there is a lot to the book. Of course, even the story of Esther, the story that led to the Jewish holiday of Purim, even Jewish scholars say that that story is a myth. What do you think, folks? This is Michael Collins Piper, coming to you from Washington, waiting to hear from you.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, Washington, D.C., I share this city, unfortunately, with a lot of criminals, and I'm not talking about the people out in the streets. I'm talking about the people under the Capitol Dome and in the executive office of the president and the World Bank and all sorts of other places. All right, we're going to go right to the callers. Let's go first to Martin from Washington, as in, I guess, Washington State. Martin, are you there?
I sure am. Howdy.
How you doing tonight?
Not bad, and you sound a lot less gravelly tonight than you usually do. That's actually meant as a compliment. I hope it didn't come back.
No, my voice has always been this way since I've been about 10 years
but
old.
You don't sound that way tonight. You sound
that's
good.
Interesting. Huh, that's interesting.
Anyway, I've got, first of all, a laugh for you. And it has to do with, well, it's related to your comment the other day about John Edwards' $400 haircut. And you probably heard about the Democratic debate the other night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Senator Gravel just wiped the floor with everybody.
So I've heard, yeah.
Well, there was an article about it, and it's online, the Boston Globe website, online, and a real fun thing, quote, he started out with less money than the cost of a John Edwards haircut, close quote, said Elliot Jacobson, Gravel's national finance director. had a little too much fun with that, I think.
I don't know how much. You know, I've never had the pleasure of meeting Senator Gravel, but he's visited the American Free Press office a number of times. He's taken a lot of heat, in fact, for having been friendly to American Free Press. I've never had, as I said, though, I've never actually met him myself. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. I just saw somebody the other day accusing Senator Gravel of covering up for Zionism. But you know what a lot of people don't know? The reason why he's no longer Senator Gravel is because the Zionist lobby pumped a massive amount of money into Alaska to defeat him. He's one of the first members of Congress to have ever been directly targeted.
Yeah.
At least, I shouldn't say one of the first members of Congress, but in the modern era, he's one of the first members of Congress who was ever targeted. And back in the old spotlight, back in 1976, 78, whenever it was that he was defeated for re-election, we told the story. So Senator Gravel does know a little bit about power politics in America.
Okay, anyway, I have two other things which are in the nature of questions I'd like you to go into to elaborate a little, things that you've mentioned the last couple of weeks.
Go ahead.
One of them was, you said, a couple of weeks ago, something about, why is it called the State of Israel? We don't say the state of, I'm making these up, the state of Ireland, the state of Zimbabwe. And then I missed anything that you said about that. And then the second one was, on Friday, I believe it was, you said that Margaret Truman, in a book that she wrote, alleged that some Israelis, and I gather associated with the Israeli government, attempted to assassinate or planned to assassinate her father.
Okay,
who was president at the time.
Why
don't I hang up so you can have your show back, and would you address those two things in a little detail?
I will address both of them.
Thank you.
Okay, well, listen, thanks for your call. I'll comment on that, give him a chance to hang up.
Okay.
We'll start off, first of all, regarding Margaret Truman. She wrote a biography of her father, which I think was simply entitled Harry Truman. And it was published, I'm not even sure at what time, maybe in 1970s. In that book, the biography of her father, she stated flatly that the Stern Gang in Palestine, it was not yet Israel, the Stern Gang in Palestine had sent literally poisoned pen letters to her father in Washington. They sent letters that were intercepted that had poison within them, and the reason why they were sending these poisoned letters to Harry Truman is because they did not feel that he was sufficiently supportive of the Zionist movement in Palestine. Kind of interesting, of course, that ultimately, after the Jews in Palestine declared the State of Israel, Harry Truman, in fact, gave diplomatic recognition to the Jewish state. I just read today something like 11 minutes. I could be wrong about that, but pretty quickly afterwards. But needless to say, in her biography of her father, Margaret Truman did state flat out that the Stern Gang had sent poisoned letters to her father. Just in the last year, incidentally, it was also reported that the Stern Gang or other elements of the Jewish terrorist groups that set up the State of Israel, they were also making threats and actually considering assassination attempts against some British officials who were considered insufficiently supportive of Zionist aspirations. So that's the story on Margaret Truman. And as I say, you can check out that biography of Harry Truman by Margaret Truman. Regarding this question of the State of Israel, we did have a follow-up show on that topic with Mark Glenn, initially after that question was posed by a caller from Pennsylvania. And basically what Mark and I talked about, and I think we had several other callers came in too with us, essentially we pointed out that the concept of the State of Israel goes well beyond the idea of the geographic entity of Israel. Well, I have to come back to that after the break, and then we'll go to the rest of the calls. All right, this is Michael Collins Piper in Washington.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
All right, folks, Michael Collins Piper coming back to you from Washington, D.C., that is. Just before the break, I was responding to Martin's question about this concept of the State of Israel. You know, I did a quick search on the Internet during the break, and if you look for State of Israel, you'll find about 1.5 million references. You check State of Indonesia, it's only like about 40,000 references. State of Ireland, roughly the same. State of Russia, you get about 54,000, but they're already talking about the condition of Russia, the poor state of Russia, the state of Russia today, but not the state of Russia, as in the state of Israel. And, you know, as Mark Glenn and I discussed, you know, hashing around some ideas here and there, based upon some writings you'll find in the Zionist movement, the fact is that the Zionist cause has always thought of Israel as being more, although they wanted a Jewish state with very, very specific, very clear borders. Even the Israelis today, the government of Israel today, says that Israel, as in the concept of the Jewish people, has no borders. Because, you see, ultimately, Zionism wishes to achieve world rule, and the state of Israel is simply the little locus of their operations. But of course, they've extended their power into the highest ranks of our nation's political establishment. And right now, we have one of their people, that is, a person who's under the control of Zionism, he has his hands on the nuclear buttons, and he wants to press those buttons. So the state of Israel, while it is a geopolitical entity with borders, its power goes beyond those borders, and it's considered a very mystical thing, a deeply rooted religious and philosophical concept. So that is why, at least in part, why we hear about the state of Israel, because the people who love the state of Israel, who work to advance the state of Israel, ultimately consider Israel to be the world, their world, under their control, a global plantation, a new world order. That's what it's all about. That's a very brief explanation of a very difficult topic. Anyway, let's go to our next caller, Tim, in West Texas. Tim, are you there?
Yes, sir.
How you doing tonight?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing it. What do you want to talk about?
Well, in reference to your question about how some of us became aware of the alternative media and whatnot, that would definitely be for me my addiction to shortwave radio.
Okay.
Going back to the early 90s when I first started listening, I can't even recall what broadcast it was I may have heard or whatever, but there was, you know, there's always been people talking about all kinds of things on the shortwave.
Things you don't hear anywhere else.
Exactly. It's kind of like the internet, an audio version of the internet set on random. You just never know what you're going to get. And your show has been pretty interesting for the last year here or more that I've been listening in. And I could go back even further to like how I noticed some of the flaws in the system to junior high when I was listening to Metallica. Injustice for All.
Okay.
And some of their lyrics, you know, in the songs, you know, at the time I was just in junior high, so of course I didn't understand the world, but the lyrics definitely pointed out, helped point me in the right direction, you know, to understand a little more.
That's interesting because, you know, like I said, different strokes for different folks, you know, it all comes in different ways, and you know, some people, what always amazes me, Tim, is that there are so many people out there in the world today who don't listen to RBN and who don't read American Free Press and or the Idaho Observer or some of the other independent populist and patriot newspapers out there, but they think just like we do, and yet they're totally ignorant of the fact that there is this whole other source of alternative news and information. You know, they turn on their TV and curse at the TV, but they don't know that they can actually turn on a shortwave radio or get on the Internet and log on to RBN. So that's why I always say it's so important for those of you who are out there listening to not just listen, but also tell your friends about it, you know, and do whatever you can to spread the word. So,
yes, sir. And, well, that's pretty much my call.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call. Very interesting.
And we thank you for your time.
All righty. Thanks a lot, Tim. Well, we're going to stay in Texas, and we're going to go not to Tim, but guess who? Rhymes with Tim. Jim from Texas.
Hello.
Jim.
Yes. Mike, I'm kind of astounded tonight to hear you pontificate upon biblical stuff, because you're not much into the biblical and religious stuff, and all of a sudden tonight you're worse than our good friend Mark Glenn as far as talking about biblical stuff. So he's probably passed out in northern Idaho in his chair there, thinking, what in the world, what's coming to this world?
Well,
Mike's
actually,
talking about biblical stuff.
Well, actually, you know, we've gotten into that on the program here with Mark, and I recall one of the times we had Mark on the show that, in fact, I think that's when Ron from Oklahoma called in, and there was some spirited debate about the Old Testament, and I can't speak for Mark, but I do have some vague memory of Mark saying that he recognized that there were a lot of people, very serious Christian scholars, who had some very serious questions about the Old Testament, particularly the concept of the Old Testament being an outline of ancient history for what we know today as the State of Israel.
Well, Mike, I'm about as far as you can get from a biblical scholar. I know practically nothing about the Bible or that much about religion, but I know one thing, that the Old Testament and the New Testament are polar opposites.
Exactly.
That I know. And anybody that doesn't admit that is a fool. The Old Testament is all about murder, mayhem, revenge. I'll kill you. You got to sacrifice your son. And you're all such wonderful people that whatever you do is all right with me. And the New Testament is, wait a minute, do unto others.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a, you know, that's a very good assessment of, that's my opinion precisely, because I've told a story, I know that here on the air, that I recall reading Old Testament Bible stories about 10 or 15 years ago, and I was shocked that, you know, I had forgotten how really violent they were, and God was telling the Jews to go around and kill everybody. And well,
yeah,
that's
bloodthirsty. The Old Testament is bloodthirsty. It's kill, murder, mayhem. Do what I say or I'll gouge your eyes out. And the New Testament is, wait a minute, treat other people as you'd like them to treat you and do not cheat, steal, murder, or anything else. They're complete polar opposites. You can't believe in both. It's cognitive dissonance to its extreme. You can't believe both. In my opinion,
yeah,
and
well,
I'm not
a
biblical scholar. I've never even read the Bible, but I know that.
Yeah. No, I tell you something. I would, in my estimation, without being a scholar of the Bible, my impression, and I emphasize this, my impression is that people like Jerry Falwell and that gang, they do not worship God in the conventional way that we think of Christians being Christians. They instead worship the Jewish people as described in the Old Testament and the modern day state of Israel that is causing so much problems in the world today, whereas your real Christians, traditional Christians, quite the contrary, follow the teachings of the New Testament and Jesus Christ.
Mike, when they worship, they can see the faces of Abraham Boxman, Marvin Heyer, or Liar as you call him, and Henry Kissinger, and all these other people. That's the faces they worship. I'm sorry, but that's the way I
agree
see it.
With you completely, Jim. And, if there's anybody out there who really feels strongly about our position on that, I'd like to hear from them. But I agree with you 100%, Jim.
And by the way, I had a nice long talk with His Eminence the other night after one of my rants on your shows, and I'm sorry to hog all your time.
That's all right.
Mike, all you got to do to get me off the air is be a boring show. Don't talk about anything interesting, and I won't bug you and I won't bother you. If you talk about, you know, just mundane stuff, I won't bother you at all because I won't even listen to you. So,
well, you know, Jim, I think when I go on vacation, I'm going to ask you to sit in because I think you have more fans than I do.
No, I don't think so, but I got one fan, and this fella, as I told you before I ever talked to him originally, that I told you to get Mark Glenn on your show as often as possible, and, you know, you remember that. I told you, this guy is great, and I still think he's great, and I always think he's great, because he is one of the few good guys in the whole world as far as I'm concerned.
He's a good man. Well,
absolutely.
You know what, Jim? I am going to throw you off the air because I have a couple other callers.
Oh, that's fine. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Take care, Jim. All right. Now we are going to go on up to Canada. We got Mike in Canada. Mike, how are you tonight? I think we have Mike in Canada.
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go, Mike. All right.
I'll touch on the biblical stuff. I'd like to touch on a couple things, actually.
Go ahead.
I'm not familiar with the book you were referring to in this higher criticism. I mean, to the average Christian, if they start to hear that, that's going to set a precedent that some of the alleged prophecies announcing the coming of Jesus are therefore myths. Therefore, we could then take it into that the Jesus story is an amalgamation of other myths, of other cultures, dying gods, which people have been writing about extensively, only to add more confusion to the mix. I agree that the Old Testament is and the New Testament are almost diametrically opposed, but who do you listen to? Listen to the guy named Pastor Peters, who runs Scriptures for America, and he has an extensive shortwave broadcast. He's doing about 500 hours a month.
Yeah, I've been on his show years ago, yeah.
He considers what you thought was a Jew is a Gentile, basically, and what you think of as a Gentile is a Jew, because the Gentiles, as you might perceive yourself or myself, are actually the chosen people who carried the work of the kingdom to the rest of the world. He's not Christian identity, but he thinks, you know, America is the new promised land, and that the house of Israel is essentially white Christian people who have furthered the promulgation of those teachings.
Yeah, now, you know, I'm familiar with that, and I have to say that, you know, although I don't necessarily subscribe to it, I think that it makes a whole lot more sense from a Christian perspective and a New Testament perspective than this Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, Tim LaHaye line of thinking.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. I have my odds with Pastor Peters, but he does make some interesting points.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Another thing I heard on Shortwave today was Dr. Grobman on a show called Point of View. Unfortunately, it was a taped broadcast I discovered after the fact. And he's a Jewish author who's written Nations United, How the United Nations Undermines Israel and the West. And he was stressing, look to the Jews, because what happens to them, it can happen to you next. So I think I'm going to have a telethon on my own TV show soon. Basically that they are so persecuted, there's no logical argument in Holocaust denial or revisionism of any point, that they took that barren wasteland we knew as Israel and turned it into this flowering garden of peace. It was really quite something to hear, and we are in such a minority, myself and others in these viewpoints, that the battle is huge. It is really huge. His last comment that I heard was, regarding the media, we should only have as much power as people think we do. Wow. You know. And then he referred to the famous Martin Niemöller quote, you know, they came for the trade unionists, but I wasn't a trade unionist. They came for the communists. You know that old story.
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing is that quote has been so garbled so many times that the original quote is largely lost to history.
It's time to rewrite it. First they came for the Holocaust revisionists, then they came for the 9/11 revisionists, then they came for the global warming revisionists. I think it's going along more that way, and in fact there's lots of people drawing parallels between 9/11 denial and Holocaust denial.
Absolutely. I have seen there's a Gerald Posner who's written several books that say that James Earl Ray killed Martin Luther King and Lee Harvey Oswald killed John F. Kennedy. He has also now written a book saying, well, yes, it was the Saudis who were largely responsible for 9/11. But what's interesting is that he has used the Holocaust denial parallel. He used it in attacking me several years ago vis-a-vis the JFK assassination and my writings on it. And he has since dredged it up again in reference to people looking into 9/11. So you're absolutely right about that. This whole mudslinging around Holocaust denial is now being applied to people who rightly question the hellish lies told about 9/11 by our so-called government.
And why would they be using that to silence debate? Because then nobody wants to be equated as a Holocaust denier, God forbid, but they might have some serious questions about 9/11. And when those kinds of barbs are thrown, I mean, that will effectively silence a whole group of people who don't want to be in that category.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole game. That's exactly what's up.
Which, again, raises questions about Israel's potential involvement, how they've benefited from it, because they could say, see, America's enemy is Israel's enemy. We're in this together. And most people that I speak to treat it that way.
It's kind of interesting. The one guy who got a lot of publicity some years ago about 9/11 was this guy, Michael Rupert.
Oh,
and
he sure
he did so many flip-flops on whether or not he really thought the Israelis were involved. At first, he was attacking people who even dared to say that Israel had foreknowledge. Then he was saying, well, yes, the Israelis knew that there was going to be some sort of attack by the evil Arabs, and they tried to warn the United States, but the poor old incompetent United States failed to act. Then when he finally wrote his book, Crossing the Rubicon, he had a very extended introduction to the book saying that two of his best friends were Jews. He loved the state of Israel. He thinks the Holocaust is the worst thing in history. And then in the book he said, well, yes, I do think the Israelis were involved in 9/11, but they were only doing it because they were told to do it by the United States.
Well, I think Rupert's a shill for the oil companies, because his whole peak oil thing, too many people have come forth to say that that's just bogus. There's ample oil, and this war in Iraq, if you can even call it that, is
Mike,
not about oil.
Hang on there. We have the break coming up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper here. We're going to a break. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington. We have Mike from Canada. Mike, did you have any last comments?
Yeah, actually, I do. I'm a bit tired of the mudslinging against Pius XII. some known as call him Hitler's Pope, and that they'd like people to think that the Reich Concordat that was signed between Hitler and the Vatican was basically the Vatican's complicity in the Holocaust. They just afforded rights to Catholics in Germany, and those Catholics were not hostile to the Republic, whereas the Jews were openly hostile to it. And I think his name was Cornwell or Cromwell. He wrote the book, Hitler's Pope. And, I mean, there's going to be people who honestly believe that Hitler and Pacelli, Pius XII, were, like, doing voodoo together in the Vatican. And I know you mentioned his name in the foreword in one of your books, or the memory was dedicated to the memory of Pius XII. And that has to be rectified, I do believe. Hello?
An old friend of mine, she's no longer here in the United States. She's living in Europe, but she was his goddaughter. She has some things to say about that, needless to say.
I got cut off, Mike.
Oh, you there?
Yeah, I lost your voice, though.
Oh, no, okay, what I was saying was that a very good friend of mine, she's an old lady, is the goddaughter of Eugenio Pacelli.
Yes.
Back when he was Vatican Secretary of State, he was a friend of her father's.
Wow.
And, yeah, so as I say, she has a lot to say about these stories of Hitler's Pope and so forth. But
has
of course,
has that been published? Can I research that?
No, these are private comments that
private
she said.
Stuff.
Yeah, but needless to say, you know, there've been a lot of writing about that topic, and you know, if you plow through a lot of serious history, you'll find that even that story is another story that's just been totally taken out of context, or it's been used for propaganda purposes. And but then again, that's the whole story of the Holocaust in and of itself.
Yes, it is.
So you know,
Kelly was dead set against Bolshevism. I believe he knew where the enemy resided.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know. And I think, yeah, his name has, and the honor of his name has to be rectified.
Well, that's why, you know, that's why it was so soon after World War II that they convened Vatican II. We had Jim Condit on this program talking about Vatican II and what that meant for the evisceration of the traditional church. But fortunately, there are a lot of traditional Catholics out there who still stand up for the traditional church and who do stand up for Pius XII.
Yes.
So, you know, again, it's just, it's all part and parcel of the lies we've been told about so many things. I mean, if you look at just the history of the 20th century alone, aside from World War II and aside from the Holocaust, there are just so many lies. And then you keep going back through the centuries. What we are told as history just ain't. And, you know, Henry Ford's always been criticized for saying history is bunk. What he meant was precisely that.
Yes.
What we're told is history just isn't true. They always say, you know, history repeats itself. That's why we got to stop history from repeating itself.
God bless you, Mike.
Mike, thanks for your call. Apologies.
Thank you.
To those we couldn't bring up tonight, but we'll be here tomorrow night. Keep that in mind, folks. History is bunk. Now, stay tuned for more good programming right here on